something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on Taggart and Torrance.
Is enough enough?
It is if you ask me. Jay-Z's got 100 problems if you count his sister-in-law Solange.
And a round of our favorite game, Callin' Pranks.
That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Tidy's calling you. Studley.
Jeremy Taggart, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, Jonathan Torrance.
I think we just wrote a hit. Speaking of hits, hey, we're a hit. We were in the National Post this past weekend. Did you see it?
Of course. I bought a copy for my mom and my mother-in-law.
If the people didn't... Yeah, what a nice Mother's Day gift. If the people didn't know we existed before, by gum, a baker's dozen of people that still reads the National Post knows now for sure.
Yep. We were mentioned in that classic story with the greasy caveman, your friend Sam Tarasco and Ben Johnson, when they were pitching that event to... I believe it was the 100-meter dash with Rob Ford at the 50-yard head start, and that was going to be for charity. And this was something that the caveman, Sam Tarasco, pitched to the mayor. And, of course, the mayor just got up and said, hey, guys, check this out, which was, here's my new cabinet, my new campaign workers, Ben Johnson and Sam Tarasco, cave.
You're sailing over sketchy waters into controversial harbor if Taggart and Torrance is your go-to credible source for news, right?
Absolutely. The fact that we somehow may have vindicated, in a sense, Sam and Ben Johnson a little bit, because it's like, you know what? People are used to Rob Ford being like a thug and doing all these terrible things. This is actually something really simple where he's just kind of pull one over on everybody just in a simple manner. So it's kind of it was kind of cool in a way.
But here, context-wise, if you're Ben Johnson and Rob Ford is bringing you down, like you're already a disgraced sprinter and your public opinion is lowered because you're keeping company with Rob Ford, does that not say just how badly perceived Rob Ford is? That's crazy.
I know, it's unbelievable.
And even
have you heard
people were like judging the trailer park guys going, oh, come on, you're keeping company with him? That's sketchy.
Have you spoken to Sam since then?
I have not. But I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your hair back right now.
Okay.
I received an email from the reporter at the National Post a few days before the story saying, can you confirm what I heard in your podcast, and can you put us in touch with Sam? And I panicked because everyone's feeling around the show is that's enough, and let's kind of distance ourselves from it and hope it blows over. So I didn't even respond to the guy. So it wasn't completely out of nowhere. I knew they were digging on it.
Wow, that's cool.
But it was still kind of cool to see Taggart and Torrance in print in the National Post. I will say that.
Absolutely. And it's and somehow, like I said, it's one for the caveman and for Ben.
And one for us, bud.
Absolutely. So,
although a Scott Stinson mention would have been cool, too.
Absolutely, for sure. Did you, in the wake of all this stuff, you guys are pretty close to actually filming your next season.
Yeah, we start season 9, and it's crazy, man. It's like bigger than all of us. And just when we think that's got to be that, folks are not interested anymore, finds a whole new audience. Kids are watching it now. They're discovering it on Netflix. It's traveling all over the world. And I think that kind of enthusiasm for the show has allowed us to come up with a newfound enthusiasm for it, too. So we have a whole bunch of great stories, like kind of new storylines. We're staying faithful to the things that people love about the show, but also mowing some new grass, which is fun. And we're fired up, man.
That's cool.
But it's funny, you know, people say like, wow, you guys look old now sometimes. The truth is, the year 2000 was when we shot season 1.
14 years ago.
Yeah, I dare anybody to look at a picture of themselves from 14 years ago and not look any younger.
Well, I mean, in my mind, if you think about it, like, if you do it in reality and they are older, it's actually even more funny. Because J-Rock is approaching 40 years old now, and he still thinks he's going to make it as a rapper.
Well, that's the thing, and I don't want to give away too much, but kind of what the characters are going through are what all of us go through at a certain age, where responsibilities kind of come into play, but you're feeling the pull of wanting to still roll with the guys.
Oh, no.
So there's going to be new turf for J-Rock this year. And suffice to say, there's a little pint-sized, mouthy MC that's going to show up on the scene and really rattle J-Rock's cage. And I'm psyched. Oh,
that's awesome. So the rumors of that are flying around. How about in Toronto, the rumors of FNUF and being enough with FNUF?
First and foremost, as I've said before, I'm an Edmonton Oilers fan. Though as a kind of a person who has a passing awareness of the Toronto Maple Leafs, cause you can't help but, I've always thought he was kind of overrated, to be honest. I always thought that he, hasn't proven himself to be an incredibly gifted leader. I don't think he's, particularly charming in the media. I don't enjoy listening to him, nor do I enjoy watching him play the sport of ice hockey. But what terrifies me is that he's going to end up in Edmonton, cause that's one of the things on the table.
Yeah, I mean, and they have all that young talent there. My issue with Dion is I think the captain idea, and I do believe when you have a great leader, it does help a team. Some people don't believe in that concept of a captain, or I think if you were playing with Jonathan Toews, you would probably disagree with that. But I think having Dion as our captain in Toronto. I think it affects the locker room in a weird way. I just don't feel he's a natural leader. I think if he wasn't the captain and he was maybe the first or second best defenseman on the team, it would never really be an issue. But right. Because he has that on his sweater and the way he talks and the way he acts off the ice, it's just it's a little bit too much. I kind of wish that Kessel could talk to the media in a more positive way where people would like to hear him speak, then it would be naturally him. But
well, I used to have it in my mind that captains had to be of a certain age and like veterans and a certain level of accomplishment, whatever. Guys like Toews and even Crosby are proof that you don't have to. Something kind of interesting, when Crosby was offered the captaincy, if that's the word, of Team Canada in Sochi, do you know what he did?
What?
He called Toews and said, "Is that okay with you if I accept this?" Like
there you go.
That shows a degree of class and grace that I would suggest FNUF maybe has, but certainly hasn't exhibited.
Well, at least even the standing in the community, the way things are when people go out in public, it's just you keep hearing these stories of him being kind of snooty and not the coolest guy. And you just don't hear that with other teams when they're talking about that captain star, the guy who's used to, you know, rallying the troops every day.
Well, like even Andrew Ferentz comes from Boston and goes to Edmonton, and he's been there a year, and he's already making inroads in the community and doing fitness programs with local folks. Yeah. And he's another guy that on another team would probably be, you know, third line defenseman maybe. But he's become the captain, and he's really trying to make the best of it and put on a good face for the community, you know?
And the $7 million that we would kind of save in cap space, we could free up in a lot of great ways, even to the point of finding some better way to scout younger players or draft better players, whatever, anything, because $7 million is a lot of money. I think there's a lot of... Think about Subban, who's about to negotiate for his next deal. I mean, that's a $7 million defenseman. That's what they play like, you know. And you don't expect that to be exactly that, but when you see it happen and you see that kind of a spark plug, and he has that dominating ability, that's what you would expect for $7 million.
Subban, in watching the series with Boston, his the way he plays is intoxicating, and he reminds me of an old kind of rock'em sock'em guy. He hits hard, he plays hard, he's competitive. If I was a Bruins fan, I wouldn't like him either, not for the mortifying reasons why they were suggesting online, but because he's so competitive and he is in your face, kind of like Brad Marchand is, for example. I have always said Edmonton needs a Chris Pronger-y, Chara-y, veteran kind of competitive defenseman like that. Man, if we could get our hands on PK Subban, I'd be so behind that. But the thing...
Oh, come on.
The thing about Subban... Yeah, it'll never happen. But the thing about Subban
Toronto
is...
too.
It's almost like when George Strombolopoulos came to CBC, what the folks thought internally was, not only is he a good broadcaster and whatever, but he brings a kind of cachet and credibility to CBC that they haven't had in a long time. I think PK Subban is a kind of franchise player that, yes, he plays in Montreal, yes, he's a great player, but more so, the city loves him. He's a franchise face. He is perfectly synonymous with an original six franchise like that. He is hockey. It kind of would have been nice if he'd ended up on the Leafs because that's where he's from, but what he's done for Montreal is incredible.
Well, we've all heard the phrase game-changing, but he is definitely a game-changing athlete. And when you have those types of athletes, they not only sell tickets, but they add so much more to their name than just the fan quality. That's what he is, and he's going to get every dollar, that's for sure.
I think it was game five. I think they were down. It might have even been 4-1. And he scored with not that much time left. And he was so fired up. They're not going to win the game. But he fired just this rocket from the blue line and it went in. And he's so invested in the game that even at that late point, he was like still so fired up. I love that.
I love it. I'm hoping for more of that kind of spirit throughout the rest of these playoffs myself.
So quick question, if they do trade Phaneuf, first of all, do you think trading Phaneuf is a good idea? And if they do, secondly, who do you think should be captain?
I am biased because I just feel that he's kind of a bit snobby and he's bothered me for a while. So, I mean, I would like to see him gone, but because I see the big dollar savings. But in terms of who should be captain, I think Phil Kessel, the way he plays, he should be the captain of the Leafs. But for some reason, if you put a mic in front of his face, he seems like the last guy that should be talking. So that's weird. But I mean, as soon as the guy steps on the ice, he acts like the leader and he engages the most.
He does,
whenever the puck is around. So I would like, on paper, he seems that way, but I want some way bigger players. I would love a second line that would have that same the JVR Loophole type players. We could use more of that. I think if we had another line of players or maybe another defenseman that was a top five NHL starting defenseman, then it would just kind of come to fruition, that person, you know what I mean, throughout those players.
But this
is kind of what has to happen anyway. It has to seem natural. When you force it, you just kind of create this weird culture, you know.
Well, so Toronto's a crazy hockey market. You're under a lot of scrutiny from the media there, but it always bugs me why, if you're an exceptionally gifted athlete, should you be expected to be able to speak to the media in a way that's kind of eloquent and articulate and all that. It's comparing it to my world. If someone's a stand-up comic, people assume they can be the lead in a sitcom. Or if someone is a sketch player, they assume that person can do stand-up comedy. Those are different skills entirely. So if you're...
I don't think they have to be eloquent or word-inflected, big, huge, wordy answers. I think it just has to have some, you know how Mickey Mantle used to answer things, it was almost with a joke,
right?
Or just make people feel comfortable. I think that's that leadership quality is what kind of has to be there. When you see Steve Yzerman talk, it's just there, that leadership feeling, the way the guy talks, you know. It's like I said, when you put it on somebody and it's not there, it just seems really ridiculous, right?
I'm going to tell you, this is a pet peeve of mine. In watching the folks interviewed after the game, between periods, whatever, they all say the word obviously in their answers. And if it's so obvious, don't say it. Obviously, 2 points are hard to come by this time of year, and obviously everyone's playing really hard, and obviously it's a thought word.
It's a thought word that is nervous. That's just the nervous word. They'd have no idea that it's happening.
And it's also like people trying to give credibility to their statement before they make it. Like, this is so obvious that you can't disagree with it. It's like when people do, I call them laugh triggers. It's like real LOLs. When people at the end of their sentence say, there must've been 20 of us there.
Yeah.
They're sending the social cue to you that it's okay to laugh.
Or just going through a night. I'm just trying to do my best. I'm going to eat enough food just to make sure I give myself a chance to get a good night's sleep. And hopefully when I put my head on the pillow, I'm going to probably have no problem getting to sleep at that time.
By the way, you know what people are doing a lot is really exaggerating things that sound like they're compliments, but when you break them down, they're not really. Like, Jeremy Taggart is easily one of the best drummers in Canada. Like, easily. Sounds like you're going to be easily the best drummer. No, you're easily top 50 in Canada. Easily.
Yeah, there's some kind of a stat sheet that, like, little tiny letters underneath. This doesn't really mean what we're saying.
Yeah. We embellish too much, though, as a culture.
Let's talk about this. This whole Solange.
Okay, Jay-Z. So you haven't seen this.
No.
So here's what happened, and the information that I have is sketchy. But if you put all of the details through a colander, this is the nugget that's left over. I believe it was after the Met Gala, which is when a bunch of rich folks wear clothes that they were given for free to have their pictures taken. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z, a bodyguard or two, probably some umbrella holders, get in an elevator. His sister-in-law, Beyonce's sister, Solange, gets on the elevator too. And there's high-angle security camera footage of this elevator. She goes bananas on him. You obviously can't hear what she's saying, but she's yelling and screaming. Next thing you know, she's slapping him. She's kicking him. The bodyguard, he's wearing like white tux, James Bond style. And to his credit, he doesn't, retaliate, or he's not even really firm with her. He just retreats. Gentlemanly thing to do. His bodyguard grabs her around like the shoulders, and she starts 2-foot donkey kicking him across the elevator.
What the heck?
It's bad. And I saw someone wrote on online, like, that's the first hit she's had in years, which is pretty funny. But the tape is 3 minutes and 31 seconds long.
Of a constant attack?
Like, attack, retreat, attack, get her kind of cornered. She lashes out like a rabid badger.
In an elevator the whole time?
How tall was the building?
What kind of thing? Are they stuck?
I don't know.
Perhaps she has a thing with...
But the door opens a couple of times, and the bodyguard is obviously trying to keep her from, the melee from spilling out into the hallway. But Jay-Z doesn't get off. They don't walk out of the elevator. It's the weirdest thing. You got to watch it.
Could this be a promo for an album?
I don't think so, because it doesn't make it doesn't make him look great for two reasons. One, it makes him look like he angered her in some way that she went nuts like this. It makes her look really not great. Yeah. But I don't see him agreeing like, yeah, that would actually drum up great business for us.
Well, in the world of ridiculousness and Kim Kardashian, I'm not surprised by anything anymore.
The Kardashianery of it all.
Yeah. Just the idea of like becoming famous by something ridiculous or something just kind of happens to go viral as your record's about to come out.
Right. Hey, have you been
like the James Franco thing, how he was creeping girls on Instagram just as his movie about creeping girls is coming out?
So he's method? He's a method actor.
Is that supposed to be? What's real and what is it? Is it a prank? Is it a scam? I don't know.
I've only seen glimpses into that world, especially with the American star system, how incredibly under the microscope those people are. It's a terrible way to live. And generally speaking, the people that I've met who are kind of big A-list people feel sad and trapped. It's no way to live, man. Little things like you have to change your phone number every time you order a pizza, because when the delivery guy comes to your house and they see who it is, they're like, oh man, we have his number now.
Yeah. I think those are the times where if you have issue with it, then you just move out of those cities.
Yeah.
You know, move to Montana like Harrison Ford.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to have lunch at the Ivy, you can't complain about being photographed when you leave. So drive a Skoda and move to Akron and shut up.
Yeah, exactly. You don't see those types of people that actually have the balls to be by themselves and not, you know, need attention.
Hey, bud.
They usually, yes.
I want to do a bit of role playing for a second.
Love it.
You're Beyonce. I'm Solange. Okay. You're calling me on the phone after seeing this elevator tape. I know you haven't seen it, but you get the gist.
I'm Beyonce?
Yeah.
Am I Beyonce?
Well, when I close my eyes, I pretend you are. It's uncanny, the resemblance.
I mean, Beyonce.
You have the same hair, if we're being honest.
I do. I'm not going to say, like, do I have to pretend I'm Beyonce's voice, or do I just say what she would say?
Why don't you really get into it?
Okay,
I'm going to answer. I'm going to, just a sec, my phone's ringing.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey!
Beyonce?
Yes!
Yeah, it's Solange. Did you pocket dial me?
What the hell are you up to, girl? What you doing? What you playing up my man, hitting him like that? What's happening? What's the matter with you, Solange?
I didn't know Solange or Beyonce grew up in Port Hope.
Well, hey, man, that's as good as I can do it.
It was really good.
Oh, thanks. She grew up in Port Hope beside Wheels' dad.
Yeah. Is that where Wheels' dad is from?
No, he just has the gig there.
Hey, so...
And that's where Wheels gets accosted going to the... on the way there.
That's some Canadianity right there.
Oh, definitely, yes. Poor Wheels.
We'll take a break. Colin Prank's coming right up on TNT.
Where's my beer chair?
Okay, so once before in the show, Jeremy, we did a thing called Colin Pranks, and you won. The idea is very simple. We dial a number and try to keep the person on the phone as long as possible.
Yes.
It's
a very simple game, but probably one of the best games ever.
I know. And you did 2.5 minutes. It was incredible.
We're not allowing weather now, right?
Right. And I tried a high concept Hail Mary because you went first into 2.5 minutes. So I
you went even to the option of another gender off the top.
I swung
just in case.
At a big pitch and missed, and that's okay. I can go down striking out. So
yeah, that was good.
Here's what we're gonna do this time. It's Colin Pranks, but Tim is gonna randomly dial the numbers. We've zeroed in on the community of Sherwood Park, Alberta. So we know that's where we're calling. To give it some context, awesome. It's just about 6 o'clock in the evening, so folks should be home for dinner. You're gonna have the first call. See if you can beat your personal best of 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Weather's off the table. This is round two of Colin Pranks. Winner is the person who can keep the person on the phone the longest time. Here we go.
Okay, we're
and by the way, right here. Clock starts when the person says hello.
Yes, yes. As soon as the person says hello, that's when the actual clock is ticking and Tim is dialing a number.
So
right now.
Who's going to time it?
Tim's got it on the phone.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's all good. We're all completely legit. There's no lying, no cheating going on here.
By the way, shout out to Tim from the rock combo, the Arkells. Incredible engineer. Nice man. Here we go. Are you nervous?
Yep.
Are you going to freebase or do you have a plan?
Oh, we're freebasing. Not like Richard Pryor freebasing.
No, of course.
We're not going to light each other on fire after some Cavassier. Is it ringing? Bullshit number. A bullshit number in Sherwood Park, Alberta.
You got a BSN.
Okay, we're going to try another one right here. He's dialing a number. Colin Pranks, my turn. Sherwood Park, Alberta. Try and say that 3 times fast, JT.
Sherwood Park, Alberta. Was it Robin Hood from Sherwood Park?
No, I think that's his brother, Bra Hood. Sherwood Park's a little tougher than Sherwood Forest.
Mm-hmm. Robin Banks.
Okay, what? Okay, we got another BS number right there.
Wow.
Yep, it's part of the game. We can always edit these little things.
It also builds suspense, though. I'm all for leaving it.
Yeah, we believe in leaving it in. That's part of it. Like you said, people are just sitting down to dinner, so we could have some slight agitation. That could be interesting, the upset family dinner.
We could also play some hold music.
Yeah, maybe I can use like, oh, you've got a, could have a free dinner in store for you if you answer a few questions. But you can't lie, right? You just,
I can go grab my Enigma CD. A little Return to Innocence as well rating.
Or are you trying to fit in Sherwood Park?
By the way,
you might need some, what?
Honeymoon Suite and Haywire are playing in Moncton, and I want to go.
Are you saying, like, what's wrong with me?
No, I'm saying...
I'm
saying you should come down and we'll do a roadie.
I looked in the mirror, and I pulled up my shirt, and there was this red mark on my side. What is that? Am I okay?
We're ringing. Colin Pranks, here we go.
Colin Pranks.
Hey!
Hey!
What's going on?
How's it going? Is this Gary?
No, you must have a wrong number.
Oh, sorry. I was just trying to talk to Gary. I'm pretty sure this was not his number.
It is not his number.
Is that not Gary in the back there?
No. Hey, Gary. You got Rob.
Rob. Okay. Jeez. Sounded like sorry, Gary buddy. In the back. Sorry, Rob. Hey, Rob. Have a good. Hey, yeah. Watching the game tonight?
Yeah, you betcha.
I'm in watching this. I'm pulling for. You like the Rangers or you like the Penguins?
Probably more of a Penguins fan.
Yeah, you want to see Sid pull it up, right? You want to see him play like he's supposed to, getting the money, he's doing his job, right?
Absolutely.
I like him. I think he's going to score a goal tonight.
Let's hope so.
Well, have a good night, Rob.
Okay.
I'm not interrupting dinner or anything, am I?
No problem. Just wild sex.
Holy boats! That's a good one.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Like, seriously, though? With the sex?
No, just giving you the gears.
Okay, so that was pretty good, though. No, it was really good. Thanks a lot, Rob. You have a good night, eh?
Okay.
All right. Bye. See you, bud.
Oh, my gosh. That was bananas.
Oh, man.
How many seconds was that?
That was at least a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Whoa.
But we'll have to tally it up.
I know. I'm going to say, I don't know if it was a minute, but it was awesome. Tim's not telling us how long that was until mine's done, and then we'll do the reveal.
Perfect. That's fine. Yeah.
Man, that was incredible. The best part was there were a few moments there where it's like, okay, this is winding down. But this guy said, okay. Man.
Yeah, man. I felt like I could invite myself over for dinner by the end almost. Yeah. Okay.
And you even got the game wrong. Like, there isn't even a Rangers Penguins game on tonight.
Isn't there? Yeah, there is. It is. It's on. Game 6.
Montreal Boston,
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah. I'm in a Twitter box right now.
Okay, so how am I doing this?
That's even more funny that it's the wrong game.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty good one, eh, Jonathan?
That was really good. Once again, you have raised the bar. Man.
Yes, I think I did. So now we're going to do mine for you. Here we go. Colin Pranks.
You have this uncanny ability of just getting people to buy into whatever you're saying. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So the fact that he threw out his name.
Yeah.
I had to jump in on that. That was classic.
Okay, so here I go. Again, I have to do a crazy Hail Mary. I can't just try to string them along like you did.
Well, not necessarily. You'll be surprised if you just inch your way. That's how it is. It's like you just take an inch and you try and run a foot, and then you just take your spots and hope for the best. I thought that was going to be over a lot, like 3 or 4 times. And I took my ins as I got them. Okay, we're calling here. Colin Pranks.
All right, I'm going to be cool.
Crispy.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Good. You're looking for me?
No, don't think so.
Are you sure? Because someone called me from that number 4 times. I got home, there were 4 calls, missed calls from this number, and I just hit redial.
No, I'm sorry. No, might be pocket dialing. I don't know.
What kind of pockets do you have? I mean, 4 times.
I don't know. Yeah.
Where are you? Are you in Canada?
Yep.
You're in Edmonton?
Yep.
Are you an Oilers fan?
Always.
They say that Dion Phaneuf is on the block, trade block from Toronto. He might end up in Edmonton.
Oh, yeah?
How do you feel about that? Because I'm on the fence about that. I think we need a guy, but I don't know if he's the guy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Anyway, listen.
I think they need more than that.
They do. We need like a Chris Pronger guy kind of back, or a Chara, yeah, or somebody like that.
Exactly.
Hey, I wonder if the kids are going to start performing next year, like Nuge and those guys.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It's hard to believe Eberle was even, they were talking about it, trading him. Hey, is it spring there yet, or?
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So you weren't calling me four times. You did. This is the Three's Company misunderstanding, because I'm Mr. Furley.
Yeah, no, I haven't called you.
Oh, darn it.
I'll check my phone and see if it's called out or not, but I don't think it has.
And so none of the four times. It wasn't even that you called once and your pocket dialed me three more times by accident. Isn't that weird how that happens?
Yeah.
Did you say your name was Steve?
No, it's Cliff.
Cliff. Sorry. Well, this is a bit of a cliffhanger.
yeah, exactly.
Anyway, listen, Cliff, have a great night. I hope I didn't catch you in the middle of something.
You too. No,
okay.
I'm good.
Oh, Cliff?
Yeah, have a good night.
Cliff,
okay.
Before you go, don't call me again, okay?
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Nice.
I'm really proud of myself.
What? Hey, man, you know what? You stopped talking to him. You could have went on, man.
Do you know what I think I did? I think in my mind, just had it that I had to get longer than you. And once I got longer than you, I took my foot off the gas. Because I think I won.
I think you did too. But I was hoping like you would actually say like, could you check? Could you see if you called my phone? Like, can you do it?
Now, here's the thing.
Cliff.
I did say, is it spring there yet? So I should be docked 5 seconds for that. Because we said no weather chat.
Oh, you did throw some weatherology out there. That's definitely going to dock.
It's so exhilarating when you get them on the line.
Yeah, especially when Cliff sounded like he wanted to maybe chat a bit.
Yeah, and those laughs, that's a good way to extend it too. We'll take a quick break here on TNT, coming up back with the results of calling pranks right after this. Stay with us.
So that was very nice. I love the cliffhanger thing. That was classic.
Cliffhanger. He liked it too.
Yeah, he was ready to go. I think he wanted to sit down and get into things, I think, at the end of that.
He was trying to blow me off at first, like busy guy in the middle of the day or whatever, but he was into it.
Yeah, he wanted to do some self-help work.
And once you get folks chatting, like they really loosen up, but I took my foot off the gas because, like I said, I think I won.
I think you did too.
How's T-Money doing with the results?
He's tabulating the results. I'm hoping that the weather thing might chop enough off to keep it competitive, but we'll see. What's the final results there, Tim?
Jeremy Taggart, 1:21.
Ooh. Jeremy Taggart, 1:21. That's impressive. That's good.
Jonathan Torrens?
2:08 without a penalty.
Whoa.
2 minutes and eight minus 5 seconds is 2:03. I still beat you quite handily.
Yes, you did. Nice job.
Thanks, bud. But here's the thing. We're tied 1-1 in the series.
Yeah.
It's best of 70.
Yeah.
And I owe a lot of credit because I'll tell you, I had a plan. Like I was going to do like an accent and a thing and a distraction technique. And your advice beforehand to just take it easy, inch your way along, that's the only reason I was able to pull it out.
With calling pranks, you can't just expect to control the conversation. It's not going to happen. You got to let them roll with it and see what happens. It's a constant volley. You did a great job today. I was actually surprised because you started a little aggressive by asking them if they called in that way. And then four times. There was an element of high concept, but I went for it. Very risky. You luckily got a guy that was looking for somebody to talk to, I think.
But how about hammering him at the end? Like, by the way, never call me again. After we've gotten along really well for a couple minutes.
I know. He's probably going to go cry in the back of his house with the sweater on.
why isn't Colin Pranks a TV show? And I wonder if Rob and Cliff know each other.
Ooh,
imagine. Okay, so here's the weird thing. They're meeting for a beer tonight. Yeah. And Rob says, I have to tell you this weird thing that happened. And Cliff's like, dude, same thing happened to me.
Oh, and I love that. Yeah. I don't know if Cliff's a sports fan, though. Or no, he is. He's an oil fan, right?
Yeah, he's into it. He knows we need a guy.
He loved the talk from Eberle. You could tell he was down.
He was into it.
He was. What was it you said about Nugent? Hopefully he's going to start playing next year.
Yeah. See, Nuge started. He was on fire when he started, but he's kind of had a sophomore slump a little bit.
Yeah. No, he's too talented not to do well for sure. I remember he was the guy in the juniors for sure. Even though they couldn't win that gold medal.
No, they couldn't. I'm going to share with you, because you shared with me really good advice about how to work Colin Pranks, I want to share with you some advice that I've learned in my life. And this will benefit you in ways beyond your wildest imagination. It's called the dangling so. And I've talked about this before. Say you're going to rent the dangling so.
Okay.
Say you're going to rent a car and you've rented a compact car and you want an upgrade. You say, okay, how about you be, let's role play again. You be the guy across the counter and you say you've ordered a compact car and I'll do the dangling so on you.
Okay.
Do it.
So you've ordered the compact car and the small size. Here you are.
Here's the thing. I really need something bigger, so...
We have a mid-size car here.
Great. See what I mean? If you use the dangling so, and you're comfortable enough to let the silence hang there, people will cave because their instinct is to fill in the gap. And the laws of
can I try it again?
The laws of social grace don't apply in these types of transactions.
I want to try it again, like the call again. Try and be a little more aggressive this time.
Okay. Is it still the car guy?
Yeah, the car guy.
All right. Hi, I have a reservation for a rental car.
Yes, here you are. This is the compact car that you ordered.
Great. The only thing is, I'm actually here to visit family for the weekend, and there will be a few of us in the car. I was really hoping there'd be something a little bigger, so...
Well, we have the mid-size car.
Great.
Yeah, it's
so. Here's what you do. It's you have to marinate in the uncomfortableness because it's often a long silence. They'll jump in to fix it, and the second they do, you have to reward. You have to coat them in saliva with like, "Oh my gosh, that's so nice of you. I can't believe you're willing to put yourself out there like that. It's a little thing to you. It's a huge thing to me. Thank you so much."
Yeah, it felt like I grew acne in that pause of the so. So I had to give in for sure.
But if you let the so hang there, man, it will change your life in every transaction. Like you're checking in at Air Canada. Oh, I know I'm in row 33, but I really have to hit the ground running. So
okay, so can I try one on you? Like so, you're how about a job interview?
Sure.
Okay. So this is
so you're here for the entry level clerk position.
Yeah, and I'm pretty good at this kind of stuff, and I need a job, so.
So why don't we see if we can get you into the entry-level clerk position with the other 9 candidates?
Sounds great.
See, the trick is you have to try to upgrade. If you're here for the entry-level clerk position, you have to say, I think I'd be a good manager. I have more experience in managing, so...
I actually don't have a problem with the mailroom, so...
No, you're downselling. You're downselling yourself.
I don't like mail, but I do like sushi, so...
Right. So why don't you be CEO? I'm telling you, man. You're trying to return an item of clothing. You're trying to get tickets to something that's sold out. The dangling so will unlock doors you didn't know existed.
And you're speaking from full-on example of experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've done it. How about the cruise ship? It didn't work there, but you were
no. But it's funny you should bring that up. For folks who listened to the first episode, I went on this heinous cruise, sponsored by a mouse because we can't say the name for legal reasons. My wife and I spent some time in the last couple of days drafting an email because we wanted them to know that our experience was terrible. Not because we wanted to go again, not because we wanted things. We just wanted to feel okay about ourselves and that we kind of pushed back even a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And the generic email we got back from these folks really just said, hey, I'm so sorry you feel that way, which is not an apology upon closer inspection.
Wow.
Has the word sorry in it. But it's like, I'm sorry you guys were sick when you got on our boat, was really the gist of it. And so I'd like to fire back a dangling so, but it doesn't really work in email.
So. No, it doesn't. I could see them saying, oh, so just the next one. That they would throw that on you.
That's it.
Just the ultimate so from the corporate lawyer.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah?
I'd love to extend this podcast, but I really have to get going, so...
So on to the next episode, then.
On to the next episode, bud. I say I challenge you to a rematch of Calling Pranks next week. We're tied 1-1. Let's have the tiebreaker. What do you say?
I think there's going to be a level playing field for many, many, many Calling Pranks to come.
Hey, and to the folks that were active on social media and reaching out and expressing their opinions about the Candy Awards, it was a real success. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us at Taggart and Torrens on Twitter, or you can email us, taggartandtorrens@gmail.com.
See you later, JT.
That's when I'll see you.
Bye. Hey, rip.